Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach. I vividly recall the summer of 1993, being in Israel on a mountainside, one which sloped down to the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus preached this sermon. It was a very warm afternoon. The sun glistened off the water below. We sat down on the grass, and the tour leader got one of our group to read the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew's Gospel. I remember lying back, closing my eyes and trying to imagine I was there 2,000 years before, listening to Jesus first speaking those words, trying to picture the large crowd hanging on his every word as he began with what we've just heard, what's called the Beatitudes, which basically means blessings. In 1993, it was quiet on the mountainside. Just the sound of a few birds and our friend reading from his Bible. I knew the words that were being read. I'd heard them before. So there were no surprises. But to the hearers of Jesus' day, the Beatitudes would have caused quite a stir. There were probably some muttering going on. But in clear, easy to understand language, real words of hope were spoken by Jesus that day. Not lots of theological jargon and heavy discourse. Just plain, refreshing words which connected with those who were hearing them. And those same words connect with us in this day too. As we look around the world, a desperate world in pain, crying out for hope. A world full of war and destruction, where young children are beheaded in a kibbutz. A world where 2 million people can find that where they live is under siege and incessantly bombed, causing hospitals to have no power. A world where on the whim of a country's leader, a neighbouring country can be invaded, causing a devastating amount of bloodshed. A world where a 15-year-old can be stabbed outside a school in this country by a 14-year-old. A world where hate and division towards others is stirred up by those in leadership. Where folk risk their lives in small boats because it's not safe to stay where they are. Where bias and prejudice are sadly a part of everyday life. And racism, sexism and homophobia are too common. A desperate world in pain, crying out for hope. But it doesn't have to be this way. The Beatitudes give us an insight into the kingdom of God, into the way of Jesus. They tell of the world that God desires. They tell of the world as it can be if we properly follow Jesus. They tell of the world that will be when he returns. A world where those who mourn are comforted. The quiet and gentle ones are the ones who inherit the earth. Those desiring righteousness will be filled with it. Where if you display mercy, you in turn will receive it. Where if you truly seek God, you will find him. This is also a world where those who seek to bring about peace We'll be known as children of God. And we desperately need more peacemakers right now. People who seek to unite and bring about togetherness. Not people who stir and seek to cause trouble. That's the beginning of wars. It's not the wise way. James 3, verses 17 to 18 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." We need more people like that in this world. The Beatitudes are beautiful words which paint a picture of the world as it could be, that many of us long for. Somewhere very different to the reality of the world that we see today and the reality of the past, which this day each year remembers. A day when we remember all those who gave their lives so that we might live, who gave their lives to create a better world. The Beatitudes paint a picture of the world God desires, one which we seek to help to bring about. That's why we do the things we do at this church, because we know of the hope that this picture paints for those who are so badly in need of hope at this time. Of course, we have to acknowledge the reality of the world today with its wars and destruction, and the past wars and destruction. But it's right that we, as followers of Jesus, also speak of God's world as it can be. We need to paint that different picture, one of comfort, mercy, righteousness, and peace. And it starts with us. It starts with us seeking to bring about this world which the Beatitudes describes. It starts with us asking for forgiveness for when we fail to live in a way which could otherwise contribute to this better world. It starts with us asking forgiveness for those times that we actually contribute to the darkness and the brokenness of this world's current reality by acting in ways contrary to God's ways. We often joke in churches that as an all-age talk progresses, we know that the answer to whatever is being presented is Jesus. The truth is, he is always the answer to everything in life, especially to war and destruction. Because he is the one who chose to enter into the darkness of this world. He is the one who can bring light into that darkness and real, meaningful peace to this world. As we remember today the darkness of this world, past and present, let's commit to strive for a different world for the future. As we remember with sadness today those who lost their lives in seeking to make the world a better place, let's commit to doing the same by living the way Jesus wants us to live. Being the better people Jesus wants us to be. Peacemakers, not division stirrers. It all starts with us. Amen. I invite you to stand as we sing our closing hymn. Thank you.